you're graciously waiting so that we can get everybody collected at one time and give you our presentation. I'm Holly Lundwerk, lead planner for the Basin Planning Unit. Mona Dorothy is with Core Regulatory, and Kathy Goodwin is also with Core Regulatory. We're going to be giving you the presentation today. I'm going to start off. First of all, I'd like to thank you all for coming and again for being patient. There's a sign-up sheet on the table along with copies of our staff report and the PowerPoint presentation. A number of you already are familiar with our process and know that there are speaker cards on the table, so if you'd like to speak, because this is a workshop that's going to be included in our record, I'd like to make sure we have an adequate representation of who is here and who's speaking. So if you'd be willing to fill out a speaker card if you plan on speaking and give it to Emmett, who's in the corner, who will be taking notes for us today. This is also being taped to make sure we get a true reflection of your comments so that we can be sure and respond to them appropriately in our formal response to comments. I think that's pretty much it for the lead-in. Today we are here to talk about the proposal to amend the North Coast Basin Plan by establishing exception criteria to the point source waste discharge prohibitions. The purpose of the workshop today is to provide for you an overview, a scope of what our proposed Basin Plan amendment will relate to. It's formally referred to as the proposal to amend the Basin Plan by establishing exception criteria for point source waste discharge prohibitions, a very long name. It has been discussed in the past, and there's a link on our website that refers to it as the low threat discharge amendment. You'll see in a few minutes why we're no longer referring to it as that. For the rest of the presentation, I'm simply going to be referring to it as the proposed amendment. So I'm going to give you the scope of the proposed amendment. I'm going to lay out for you Regional Water Board staff's thoughts about the need for the amendment. I'm going to explain the proposed framework of the amendment. There are two draft action plans that we'll be submitting to the board for their consideration that I will give you an overview on. And then Mona and Kathy are here today to give you a summary of the status of two related permits that they're working on that will implement this proposed amendment. And finally, and most importantly, after we've given you this overview, we're here to receive comments from you to make sure that we have a thoughtful, well-articulated proposal when we bring it to the board for their consideration in, hopefully, March. Next slide, please. So the scope of the Basin Plan Amendment. And this basically kind of lays out the title in more clear framework. So the proposed exception criteria applies to discharge that meets all of the following conditions. It applies discharge to surface water. It's from a point source. Again, there are point source prohibitions. The discharge must be covered under a board, water board issued permit. And the water board, the permit must assure us and the public that that water that's being discharged is a low threat to water quality. Our working definition of low threat discharge is discharge may be eligible for consideration as low threat if and only if it meets all of the following conditions. It must meet all applicable water quality objectives. It cannot cause an adverse effect to beneficial uses or cause a condition of nuisance. And the volume, discharge rate, and pollutant load of that water that's being discharged must be minimized. Why do we feel that it's important to bring this proposed basin plan to the board for their consideration? Currently, we are aware that the discharge subject to this proposed amendment are presently occurring. There's often no alternative to this discharge, and this discharge is often integral to community activities. And by that, we mean things like firefighting, water supply repair. No discharge exists because maybe there's siting or location limitations. So we know for a fact that these discharges are in fact occurring in the region. And so what we need to do, we feel, or bring to the board for their addressing of this, is to address the conflicts that exist between the point source prohibitions that are in our basin plan and existing statewide permits and policies. For example, there is a perception that the prohibitions are running counter to the state recycling policy. We don't feel that at the regional board, but we do, in fact, do not want there to be perceived barriers to implementing recycling. And it's also currently in conflict with, the prohibition is in conflict with statewide general permits that where there is, in fact, discharge is authorized, but it's in conflict with the point source prohibition. Next slide. So how we expect, so let me just briefly explain to you what the existing point source prohibitions are, where they came from, and why we feel that we're in a need to propose some exception criteria to it. And let me stress, we do not propose altering the prohibitions in any way. The point source waste prohibitions, as laid out in the basin plan, says, and I'm paraphrasing, point source waste discharge, except as stipulated in state plans or in the basin plan, are prohibited. And those prohibitions, there are a few of them. One big one is the year-round prohibition for the, what we refer to in the basin plan as the Klamath River Basin. And there's also a year-round prohibition on point source discharge to our coastal streams. We have another prohibition, which we refer to as the seasonal prohibition, which is in place on the Mad, Eel, and Russian rivers. And that has dry weather discharge prohibitions and also has a discharge flow rate limitation. It doesn't allow the discharge to exceed 1% of the stream flow. So, back up a second, I'm not quite ready.
Sorry.
So, in 1971, the Regional Water Board adopted this original language. At that time, our records indicate that the board was very interested in and concerned about point source discharge from municipal wastewater treatments. The record does, in fact, reflect that there were surveys being conducted at that time to inventory which municipalities were, in fact, discharging. Since that time, the definition of point source and point source discharge has expanded, such that now point source discharge is discharge that comes out of a stormwater treatment facility. A stormwater conveyance system, excuse me. We don't think it was the board's intent to, for example, limit the discharge of stormwater in the Klamath River Basin during the middle of winter or during the summer. It was, again, we believe, a discharge on point source for municipal waste treatment. So because of the expansion of the definition and permitting of point source waste discharge, we're now in a position that we feel that it's prudent for us to come to the board and propose the, next slide please, propose this basin plan amendment to fix that concern. So there are going to be two parts of it, and I'll explain to you why in just a minute. The first piece that we're proposing to do is to revise the existing stormwater action plan that's currently in the basin plan. And we intend to do that in such a way that both intentional and incidental discharge from permitted stormwater systems are addressed. Now, it's important that this be understood. The Stormwater Action Plan only relates to permitted discharge from permitted stormwater drainage systems. And again, our intent for that, the implementation will be through a Regional Water Board permit. I'm going to explain a little bit about the action plan, and Mona's going to follow up and run you through the Water Board permit that she's working on that will implement this action plan. Kathy, on the other hand, will be working on a general permit that will implement, if it's adopted, the new low-threat action plan that we're working on for the board's consideration. This action plan is going to address all other intentional discharge to surface water. Now, that's water that's not going to enter a storm drain, but is, in fact, in a position that it's likely to be discharged to surface water. This, again, will be implemented through a water board permit, and Kathy will walk you through that in a minute. We're going to start with the proposed stormwater action plan. It's already existing, and what we propose to do to revise it is to clearly call out that the exception applies to discharges from municipal and industrial stormwater drainage systems, and that includes construction, which are by definition point source, that are one, in compliance with water quality standards, so beneficial uses and objectives, and is covered by and in conformance with a water board issued permit. Next slide, please. The kinds of activities that we expect may be encompassed in that action plan are things like stormwater runoff, incidental runoff from irrigation, either recycled or potable water, emergency releases from fire from drinking water supplies, emergency firefighting flows, and sidewalk discharges, risk rinsing, excuse me. So these are the kinds of activities that we would envision being encompassed in that. And as you can see, first bullet is a natural source of discharge. It's stormwater. The second one is incidental or accidental, and by that we mean something that was not planned, whereas things like discharge from foundations and footings and fire hydrant flushing are planned. So because of the suite of actions of discharges that we hope to encompass in this, next slide please, we've broken the proposed action plan into two pieces. And the first one is the discharge of stormwater, and certain categories, and I have added intentional. This is not in the basin plan language, but I think we're going to recommend that it be included for clarity. Certain categories of intentional low-threat non-stormwater flows from, again, from permitted systems are not subject to the point source prohibition if and only if all three of the following conditions are achieved. The discharge is managed in conformance with its permit. It does not cause an adverse effect on beneficial uses. And the approved general management program is implemented to eliminate to the maximum extent possible and minimize the remaining non-storm water discharge into surface water. Now, we think that intentional discharges are, because they're planned, are, quote, easier to manage. The BMP, the best management practice or control, can be installed prior to the discharge. The water can be characterized prior to the discharge. So we've called out this section of the action plan to address those sorts of discharges. Next slide, please. The second piece of the action plan relates to incidental discharge of low-threat non-stormwater from, again, from the permitted stormwater system. Incidental is considered incidental if and only if it is not the result of poor maintenance or design infrastructure. There is no reasonable alternative to that incidental discharge, and the permit includes an approved management practices, approved management plan that identifies the best management practices, including the practice, the timing, and the reporting and monitoring that will occur as a result of that. So that's the stormwater action plan, and as you can see, there are a large suite of actions and activities that have discharge associated with them that have the ability to enter a storm drain, and most of those activities that we laid out, we think are in the public interest and are vital for the community. There are also activities that are occurring in the North Coast region in violation of the point source discharge prohibitions that are not entering a storm drain. And so because of that, we are proposing a new action plan for the basin plan, which we're referring to as the low threat action plan. This applies to all other intentional discharges. Now you'll see that we don't do incidental discharges in this permit because an incidental discharge, all of these, to be a low threat discharge, it has to have a permit. And so if it's got a permit, then we would expect that the activity would be planned. So just to reiterate again, it's only from point sources. The water has to be a low threat, which means it has to be in compliance with water quality objectives, and it must be covered by a permit and in conformance with that permit. Next slide, please. So some examples of the sorts of activities that are occurring in the North Coast region that are in fact occurring and are occurring likely without best management practices. We don't know for sure because they're not currently under permit. Things like construction dewatering, installation and maintenance of water supplies, hydrostatic testing of water supplies, and dredge spoils dewatering. So these are some of the examples, and again, we think these are in the public interest. We think that the proposal that we've laid out, and ensuring that they're under a permit, that they meet water quality, that there's a program in place, is actually going to result in an improvement in water quality in the North Coast region, because we'll have an oversight on the programs that are in place and the ability to say, don't think you've quite eliminated that to the maximum extent practical. Next slide, please. Kathy's going to go into this in more detail later, but the proposed low threat point source, the proposed low threat action plan would propose that these sources of discharge be exempt from the point source prohibition if, and again only if, it does not adversely affect beneficial uses, it complies with water quality objectives, best practical treatment and or control is implemented, there is no feasible alternative to the discharge. The discharge that will be authorized will be limited to that increment of wastewater remaining after the implementation of all other reasonable alternatives, which is to say, if you could control 75% of the discharge by constructing a settling basin, we wouldn't allow you to discharge 100% of it. We would expect that limit to be the only remaining increment of wastewater. And again, it's regulated in conformance by the Water Board permit, which will assure us and the board and the public that it is, in fact, as protected as we envision. So that's a really quick, brief overview of the Basin Plan Amendment. It's the amendment itself and its two associated action plans. I'll just kind of run through quickly. Most of you are aware of our planning process, but just as a reminder of what we've done and where we are. Regional Board staff has held two CEQA scopings on this item, referred to in the past as a low threat amendment. You'll see now why I don't refer to it as the low threat amendment, because we have a stormwater action plan and a low threat action plan. So we sort of separated it, and I'm kind of referring to it as the exemption criteria amendment. We released the draft staff report and amendment to the public and the board on November 20th. At that time, we have officially opened public comment. The notice that went out said that we were going to take public comment to the 15th, but due to popular demand, we've extended that to the 29th to make sure we get thoughtful comments from you. So the workshop is today. We intend to have final documents released for you and the board to consider in late February, and that will consist of the revised staff report and any revisions to the action plans that may be forthcoming, as well as a formal response to your comments. The comments that are provided to us in writing will be responded to in the response to comments, as well as those comments that we get today in verbal form from you. We're hoping to bring this to the Regional Water Board for their consideration at the March 12th meeting. If the board takes action, if and when the board takes action, the state board would have a follow-up approval hearing 6 months approximately after the Regional Water Board's hearing, which will then be followed by the Office of Administrative Law's legal review and final approval by US EPA. So, just as a reminder, we're revising the existing stormwater action plan, and Mona is here to explain to you the status of the municipal stormwater permit that's forthcoming. The second piece will be the low threat action plan. Kathy will be here to explain that to you. And at the very end, I will take it back. We'll take clarifying questions, and then I would ask those of you that are prepared to speak to come up near the microphone so that the tape machine, so that we're sure we get an adequate transcription of your comments. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Mona.
I'm Mona Doherty, an engineer in the Municipal Stormwater Program. Can you guys hear me okay? Talk up a little bit? Okay. The Municipal Stormwater Program permits stormwater discharges from municipalities over 100,000 population with an individual permit, such as that for Santa Rosa and Sonoma County. And municipalities over 10,000 population enroll in a general statewide permit, such as Healdsburg, Ukiah, and Arcata. Next slide, please. We're currently updating the municipal stormwater permit for Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, and the Water Agency. This permit covers discharges of stormwater and prohibits non-stormwater discharges unless the municipalities follow an approval process. The proposed permit allows certain specific non-stormwater discharges after a municipality has submitted a best management practices program for executive officer approval. BMP programs will reduce or eliminate water quality impacts resulting from approved discharges and will include structural of BMPs, information and outreach, inspections, monitoring, and enforcement. Example activities that could be exempted after the approval of a BMP program are residential car washing with associated BMPs, including public education outreach materials, and fire hydrant testing after dechlorination. The BMP programs will be posted for public comment prior to their approval. We cannot, however, approve the submitted BMP programs until the proposed basin plan amendment has been formally adopted. The proposed permit exempts emergency firefighting flows from the BMP approval process, and smaller municipalities with coverage under their general statewide permit will have to follow this BMP approval process as well. Next slide, please. We released the first draft of the proposed permit on September 9th, 2008, and the comment period ended on October 22nd. We're revising the proposed permit based on comments received, and we anticipate releasing the second draft in February 2009 for an additional comment period and regional board consideration in June 2009. And Kathy Goodwin is here to discuss the proposed low-threat general permit.
So good morning. I'm Kathy Goodwin, staff engineer to the regional board in the core permitting unit as well. So I'm going to give you an overview of the proposed low-threat general permit. The proposed permit will implement provisions of the proposed basin plan amendment that Holly just laid out. In addition, it will replace our existing permit that currently applies to construction and subsurface seepage dewatering activities in the North Coast region. The existing permit is outdated and applies to a very small subset of low-threat discharges. So the proposed low-threat permit is being expanded to apply to a broader range of potential low-threat discharges that meet the definition of low threat that Holly just talked about. Examples of discharges that might be allowed under the proposed low threat permit include dechlorinated discharges from water supply tanks and pipelines, groundwater discharge from well development activities, assuming there are no other pollutants such as sediment or naturally occurring metals at levels that exceed water quality objectives. And one other thing would be construction dewatering. And these are just a few examples. Many of the potential low-threat discharges are from activities that are in the public interest, such as development and maintenance of drinking water supplies and community development. Thus, staff believes that it is in the public interest to provide a mechanism to allow these discharges with the implementation of management practices to protect water quality. Another thing I want to point out is that these low-threat discharges are already occurring, and in many instances, they are occurring without the benefit of a permit. The proposed permit will give the Regional Water Board a tool to ensure that discharges that result from these activities are managed in a manner that poses a low threat to water quality. And management through BMPs, best management practices, is a real key element of this process. The proposed permit will provide coverage to discharges to surface waters. And I really want to emphasize something that Holly already said, and that is that authorization of surface water discharges will not be automatic. Applicants will need to demonstrate that other disposal alternatives have been evaluated and exhausted before surface water discharge is allowed. And then there's the potential of splitting the water between some other means such as sanitary sewer or reclamation, and then discharging only what's left to surface waters. Applicants will need to demonstrate that the discharge will not contain pollutants at levels that could exceed any state or federal water quality objectives. And finally, I'd like to point out that the proposed permit is consistent with similar low-threat permits that have been adopted in other regions throughout the state. The proposed permit will contain expanded requirements that will make it a far better permit than our existing general permit by requiring more detailed information to be submitted so that staff can base permitting decisions on, a good amount of information. Some specific permit elements that will accomplish this goal are indicated on this slide. Each applicant will be required to submit a detailed notice of intent to apply for permit coverage, and I'll discuss this further on my next slide. The permit itself contains numerous provisions to ensure protection of the surface water that receives the discharge. For example, the permit explicitly prohibits discharges that would exceed any applicable water quality criteria. It also prohibits the creation of pollution or nuisance conditions such as vector or algae problems or localized flooding that could result from the discharge. Each application will be subjected to a public notice period to allow the public and interested agencies to comment on the application. And this will include wildlife and flood control agencies, for example. And then finally, each applicant will be required, once the permit coverage is given, the discharger would need to monitor its discharge and provide monitoring reports to the regional board. Next slide. So a key element of the proposed low-threat general permit is the notice of intent, which will require applicants to provide detailed information to allow staff to evaluate the proposed discharge. And a key aspect of that is the evaluation of disposal alternatives. And as I mentioned, we want people to look for opportunities to reclaim the water, look at the possibility of discharging to the sanitary sewer. They could infiltrate the water, but we will expect that each application justifies the conclusion if alternatives to surface water discharge are not available. There will also need to be a characterization of the discharge, and this would include, for example, identification of all possible pollutants and the pollutant concentrations, as well as information about the timing, volume, and rate of discharge. For projects that involve the discharge of groundwater, this would be things like construction dewatering projects or well development projects. The applicant must demonstrate that the project will not inadvertently draw in groundwater from nearby groundwater contamination sites. Dischargers also will need to characterize the receiving water and provide us with a best management practices plan. And that plan would need to identify treatment measures and management practices that will be implemented to ensure that the discharge does not cause adverse impacts on water quality. So low-threat discharges may require low-tech treatments such as dechlorination or sediment removal, or VMPs such as hay bales or rock riprap to ensure that the discharge doesn't cause erosion of the stream bank during discharge. So here we have the proposed low-threat general permit schedule. We anticipate releasing the proposed low-threat permit later this month, and it will have a 30-day public comment period. The adoption hearing is scheduled for this spring. Tentatively, we're shooting for our April 23rd board meeting. And then finally, exceptions to the point source discharge prohibitions that Holly talked about can't be granted until the Basin Plan Amendment is fully approved, and that means Regional Water Board adoption, approval by State Office of Administrative Law, and approval by US EPA. So that's all I have on the low threat general permit. Now I'd like to turn this back over to Holly.
Okay, so we've given you a lot of information in a very short time. I would stress that you take a look at the staff report just to give you kind of a heads up on how things are looking in terms of written documentation. The staff report, while thick, is only, the staff report itself is only about 28 pages long. It's very informative. There are two attachments to that, Appendix A and Appendix B, which includes the proposed Basin Plan Amendment language. There is a Appendix C, which gives a history of where the point source prohibitions came from. And finally, Appendix D, 98 pages in length, to support our 23-page staff report, which supports our 3-page action plan, is the CEQA evaluation, the environmental review. So really, it seems overwhelming, but if you just dig in and look at those first 23, 25 pages or so, I think you'll get a pretty good sense of where we are. So just to reiterate that we've extended public comment until the 29th of this month. The documents we hope to be released by mid to late February. Again, the board, we hope to have this package ready for their consideration in March. And then, as we've said earlier, the final approval process includes three other agencies in their review. Next slide, please. So what I'd like to say is, please, if you can, if you're willing to, if you have the ability to, would you please sign up at our Water Board site for our LIRIS email distribution? We promise not to share your address with anyone. It'll be that one thing. You can receive prompt updates and direct links to related electronic documents. I can let you know we've received close to 400 letters to date on this, and we've only got about 35 people on the LIRIS list. So I really would like to encourage you to do that. It's a way of saving money and cutting our carbon footprint, and it will save taxpayer dollars as well. The other thing that I'm going to throw out there today is that if I get more people on the list, I'll be able to, when we have snafus, as we did this morning with the 10 and 10:30, I'll be able to send you all an email saying, you don't need to come till 10:30. So, didn't do it on purpose, but there's another benefit built in. So what I would suggest we do now is that we spend some time taking questions. I should stress that we're only here today to take formal comment on the proposed Basin Plan Amendment. We've asked core regulatory permitting staff to be here to give you an overview of that so you could see how, while it might look like it's an opening, in fact, of the Basin Plan Prohibition, in fact, we view it as a tightening of, because we're developing permits to go along with it that will have more oversight and require implementation of BMP and characterization of discharge, etc. So what I'd like to do today is get questions from you about both the Basin Plan Amendment, and since we have staff here, about the permit. And then when we're done with that, if those people that have submitted speaker cards, Emmett will call out your name. If you would come up and give us your comments, I would really appreciate it. So at this time, are there any questions from the audience? Really? Wow. Good.
I didn't want to disappoint you. I'm curious, when you talk about water quality standards and water quality criteria, how does the policy envision addressing non-numeric criteria, say for nutrients? And you made a mention of federal and state criteria, and certainly in the 303D list, the EPA has thrown out some actual numeric criteria. I'm curious what you envision using as far as that criteria, in for instance, with nutrients and also turbidity.
Well, the action plan, as the action plans will remain silent on that. That would be part of the permitting piece, and so I think it would be between permitting staff and the discharger as to how those are actually, you know, the narrative will be translated into limits.
And my next question is, as far as the monitoring of these discharges, you know, with respect to especially the incidental runoff, there's a potential for a change in the character of the water quality if, say, recycled water is applied to a landscape environment where fertilizers and pesticides are also applied, they might entrain those pollutants and discharge something of a very different character than maybe their effluent monitoring at their plant indicate. So curious where that point of monitoring, whether they're actually physically going to be monitoring if there's, say, a 1,000-gallon incidental discharge, whether they're going to look at that or refer to their plant effluent data.
Again, that would be a permitting issue, but my vision would be that when there's things that are incidental, that we do care about what's coming off the site. So my hope is, I'm not a permit writer, would be that would be addressed under the permit.
I would think a lot of that would have to come out in a best management practices plan, how those things will be addressed. You know, the goal is to reduce the potential for incidental runoff as much as possible. But we do know from experience that incidental runoff does happen. And our intent would be that the best management practices plan anticipates that and addresses that.
And one of the things that we are hoping is that, one, when we get the monitoring and reporting, we're in a better position to inform the board and the public as to the extent of it. And then we determine whether, is there the ability to kind of have a downward trajectory on the times those things occur. So we're really hoping that the permit will give us more information about how to make sure that we are, in fact, eliminating to the maximum extent practical. Anybody else?
On page 5 of the handout, there was a...
the PowerPoint?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so it's probably about the 15th or so slide. Under proposed low-threat action plan, it refers to item 5 under low-threat point source discharges may be exempted from point source prohibitions if, and it identifies it as limited to increment of wastewater remaining. Is there a reason why you use the word wastewater there? Rather than
discharge
water or...
No, not that I'm aware of. Are you?
No.
Okay. It implies that it might be wastewater as in industrial or municipal wastewater. I think it probably is not your intent. So.
No, our intent is that this is referring to the low-threat discharges that are managed in accordance with the permits.
Thank you for pointing that out. Anybody else? Yes.
Do you know at this point how the low threat discharge permitting will be staffed and funded? And will you have staff to deal with those permits? Or?
That's a question that I think our board is interested in having us address as well. At this point, I think we've got some research to do. But again, since we haven't been drawing in as many people as we hope to capture in the future, we don't really know. We need to probably check into what other regions are doing. And I think you can see that while it seems rather onerous, we've tried to streamline it as much as possible, but still assure the public and the board that we aren't, you know, letting any adverse effects. So it's something we will need to have an answer for at least by the March meeting.
Okay. Thank you.
So what will happen is, for example, hydrant flushing, let's take that. Under this plan, we will pull out a low-threat discharge permit. Is that what we'll do for hydrant flushing, or is that just considered to be exempt from this?
No.
It will matter where the hydrant flushing is taking place. If it's taking place in a regulated stormwater municipality, then it will be handled through a BMP program through the stormwater permit. And only at this point, only emergency firefighting flows are exempted from the BMP approval process.
Okay, not flushing for water quality purposes or maintenance purposes. So
that's right.
How would you see those regulated?
Well, we would view those as planned intentional discharges that the BMP management program would address.
Okay, so in that case, there would be a separate permit for that type of activity?
If it's under, if it's in a regulated stormwater entity, then it would be part of the BMP program that will be developed and approved by our executive officer, and that will be an element of a stormwater permit. If it takes place in an if it's a discharge that goes to an unregulated either stormwater system or directly towards receiving water, then that would be under the low threat general permit, I believe.
Yes. I would anticipate that. Yes.
Would there be some sort of notification? I'm just wondering, how would we change our current practices, I guess, to, you expect us to notify you when we're going to be doing this, or does the stormwater permit itself with the BMPs just satisfy that requirement?
That would be our intent.
Okay.
So I would think that the permit, if all the activities that are described and control and treatment solutions are proposed that are included in the permit, would be covered by the permit. Those things that aren't, you then would need to come and ask for a revised permit, an additional permit.
And as far as notification, for what level of discharge or what activities discharge require notification, we'll be developing that with the permittees when they submit a BMP program for our review.
Mona, maybe that's why you said under the proposed permit that under BMPs for non-stormwater discharges, you mentioned municipality submits BMPs, plans to reduce, eliminate water quality impacts. And you mentioned that the smaller municipalities may follow that same set of BMPs. Does that mean the phase two?
Maybe I misspoke, but I meant that they would follow the same process.
Okay.
So they will be required to also go through this process as well in conjunction with their coverage under as a phase two regulated stormwater municipality.
Okay.
Anybody else? Well, should we start with comments then?
We have Mary Pawson.
You want us about here? About here is right?
Yeah, I think that's fine. Yeah.
Good morning, I'm Mary Grace Pawson with Winslow & Kelly, today here representing the California section of Water Reuse. Water Reuse represents over 200 member agencies throughout California, and our mission is to maximize the beneficial use of recycled water. We're here this morning to support your proposed basin plan amendment. As a far-sighted measure that enhances the reliability of the region's water supply, the value of our rivers and streams, and at the same time respects state and federal water quality laws. You're probably aware we've spent the last 9 months in extensive negotiations with the State Board and the environmental community to craft an update to the state's recycled water policy. And we're truly pleased to see you all implementing a program that anticipates that policy and that balances water supply and water quality. We commend your staff for the work you've done, and thank you for the model that you've developed in this region, and that will probably find its way around the state.
Brenda Allen?
No, I think I'm going to pass right now.
You want me to come back to you, or you just want to talk at all?
I'll raise my hand at the end if I decide I want to say something.
All right. Jim Fulgham?
Could you state your name, please?
I will.
Yeah,
I'm Jim Flugum. I represent here today the city of Healdsburg. We've just spent...
you got a sinking chair, do you?
Reflects the feeling I have. We just spent about $32 million on a wastewater treatment plant upgrade. It's providing some of the highest level of treatment in the North Coast region. And our next step is to move forward a plan to construct a pretty extensive urban and agricultural recycled water system to comply with the seasonal discharge prohibition in the basin plan. And we recently committed to a $1.1 million design contract for that project, which ultimately is going to cost us somewhere between $12 and $15 million. We're still not sure how we're going to pay for it. And overall, I just want to be here today to express our appreciation and support for the staff in bringing this amendment forward. I think it's something that's needed. The city, you know, feels that instead of really being a relaxation of regulations, it's a tightening, because many of these discharges now are just subject to vagueness and uncertainty. In the meantime, they're ongoing. We'll be submitting more detailed comments by the end of January. But one of the concerns I want to express here today has to do with the most, what we consider the most critical provision in the proposed amendments, and that has to do with the requirement that water quality objectives be applied at the point of discharge. For us, that's a very major concern for both operation of a recycled water system and a potable water system. You know, whatever water is in either of those systems is already highly regulated by either the regional board or the Department of Public Health, and it's almost impossible to avoid any and all exceedances of a water quality objective at the point of discharge. And I guess a good example of that is probably chlorine. We have to maintain it in the potable water system to protect public health, and many recycled water system operators maintain a chlorine residual also, and it's likely that, you know, there's going to be a at least a small amount of chlorine in any runoff from either a potable or a recycled water system. And it's also very likely that, you know, after even the slightest contact with the ground, that residual is going to be gone. But yet the way this is constructed, that's going to be treated as a violation. And I think most of us can agree that these discharges are sporadic and small in volume, and probably a great majority of these discharges are never going to reach surface water. And I know that other regional boards have recognized this and expressed this requirement, so that these discharges just cannot cause or contribute to an exceedance of water quality objectives in waters of the state. And that's the approach we're here to ask you to take today. And we're not asking for, you know, to be exempt from any kind of discharge, you know, that causes exceedance of a water quality objective in waters of the state, you know, with proper management of a water system or a recycled water system. That shouldn't happen. And one other detailed comment I want to make, too, about your proposal to regulate well flushing this morning after I heard your presentation just has to do with the background information that you're going to ask to be submitted for well flushing programs. Particularly for municipal water supply wells, a lot of us have already been through a lot of that. We have extensive water quality data. We've already done assessments on threats to groundwater from surrounding contaminated groundwater sites. And we ask that you coordinate with the Department of Public Health and recognize those efforts and accept what we've already done when it comes to satisfying those requirements for the permits. But again, we'd like to express our thanks to the regional board for constructing this amendment and moving forward with this. And that's all I have to say. Thank you very much.
We have Don Carlson.
We're going to have Dick Dowd speak first, because we're going to speak together for the city of Santa Rosa.
Okay. Go ahead. Okay.
They were stuck in there together.
Yeah, it said said that Don was going to go first, and then preceded by Dave.
It was backwards. That's right.
All right. Go ahead.
I'm Richard Dowd. I'm the chair of the Board of Public Utilities for the city of Santa Rosa. I wanted to introduce some of the other people here representing the city. Robin Swinth is on our board. Carol Dean is a former member of our board, and she moved on to a very important position here at the regional system. Greg Skoll is deputy city manager, and Dan Carlson, who's deputy director of utilities for the city, who's going to comment further after my very brief introductory comments. The city wishes to express our gratitude for the regional board and staff carrying this basin amendment to the point where it is. We need to have some modifications. We need to have this amendment in place. We currently have a $150 million urban reuse program in place to handle about 3,000 acre feet a year of urban reuse of our wastewater treated effluent, and we have the board and the city council have put that on hold until this basin amendment is in place. We felt that it was inappropriate and not something that we could implement until such time as this amendment was there. So we appreciate the efforts, and we do have a few comments that we'd like to take, have the staff and board take into consideration, and Mr. Carlson will present those on our behalf. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to pull my higher chair right here. How's that? Thank you. This amendment or proposed amendment doesn't just resolve or allow us to proceed with the water recycling project that Chairman Dow just spoke of, but it also deals with our ongoing routine year-round municipal operations that you pointed out in your staff briefing. Potable water line flushing, fire hydrant testing, and maintenance. You mentioned those things. These are things that aren't dependent on the time of year. They need to be done when they need to be done. And your proposed amendment reflects that, and that's important for us. And I think also, as you pointed out, these were never the intent of a seasonal discharge prohibition 40 years ago, any more than runoff from irrigation. Not even recycled irrigation, but potable irrigation was 40 years ago. There wasn't even recycled water irrigation 40 years ago. And yet, and so this is bringing modern thinking into what the intent is of that seasonal prohibition of direct discharges of municipal waste, at that time probably primary treated, into a stream. So I think that's you're headed in the right direction, and that's exactly where this needs to go. This also resolves, as you point out, the conflict or concerns regarding stormwater permits and the basin plan. And your staff, the coordination between your two groups, and they're really the two sitting on each side of you, should be recognized and commended, because it doesn't work without both of your divisions working together to make sure it works for both parts of it. And so I think this removes that inconsistency and will work. It is good for water quality. You pointed it out. It takes something that is not regulated and is occurring anyway, and now gives makes sure that there are additional controls for both quality and quantity of what those discharges might look like. The amendment was clearly drafted by your staff, and we also want to acknowledge that. You point out in your report, quote, a higher degree of water quality protection can be achieved by acknowledging that these low-threat discharges exist and provide a regulatory program that allows the discharges to occur under prescribed conditions, unquote. And so we're in agreement with that, and we're in agreement with that. So. So who else thinks this is a good idea? We'd like to point out, I think you pointed it out, the state legislature, who basically is your bosses, has set a goal of over 1 million acre feet of water recycling in the state by 2010. And they've declared that this is a primary interest to the people of the state of California, and that water recycling is the right way to go, and that states should take all possible steps to develop such facilities to meet the state's water needs. Well, we've already developed the facilities. We've already developed the plan. What we need is this amendment and allow us to proceed with that work. We're even doing the design in anticipation this will occur, and in fact, you did that for us, or your board did that for us, by passing the resolution of support while you were doing this process, so that we could at least proceed with our program of design. The Water Recycling Task Force, as adopted by Assembly Bill 331 and appointed by Governor Gray Davis at the time, recommended regulatory alternatives to seasonal discharge prohibitions. This is consistent with the state board memo produced in February 2004 on regulating incidental runoff. And
Furthermore, you just heard from Mary Grace representing the Water Reuse Association. This is consistent with the state board's proposed water recycling policy that was heard on Tuesday by the board. And every indication is that they will approve that policy on February 3rd at their February 3rd meeting. And I agree that this has the potential, based on what we heard at that meeting, to become a model statewide for how other regions in the state handle this issue. So we're here to offer our support. It was mentioned the program, the long program that you've had on this, the first scoping meeting in 2005. I was here. The first second scoping meeting in 2007, where I would propose you... Ms. Goodwin actually kind of laid out the direction you were going to go, and she probably remembers that I was fairly direct in my comments that this would not help the city of Santa Rosa and maybe surprised her. And she went back, and you've come back with something that will work. And I think that's a good thing, and we're here to offer our support today. Thank you.
You have Dave Richardson.
I don't trust this chair. I'm just going to stand next to it.
Would you get that chair?
Usually, when I see Dan speak, he's very upright and he's usually higher than everyone else. Not that time. Okay, so I'm here to Dave Richardson with RMC Water and Environment, but today as the Executive Director of the Russian River Watershed Association, representing our chair, Jake McKenzie, and the 13 members of our association who serve potable water, discharge stormwater, discharge recycled water, and recycle up and down the Russian River throughout the watershed. So we're affected by this basin plan amendment because we're users of the water in the Russian River. We recreate in the river, and we have a discharge interest as well. We are very supportive of the basin plan amendment. We think that it addresses the conflict between state policy and state regulations and the regional prohibition. We realize and we appreciate that you've placed a high priority on this item and addressed it. We think that this basin plan amendment will enable habitat restoration projects, recycling projects, environmentally beneficial projects to go forward in a regulated manner, providing beneficial impacts. And also, from the standpoint of water supply, if we're really going to relieve the pressure on the Russian River as a primary water supply for the central county, we're going to need to be able to do potable offset with both groundwater, managed groundwater, and recharge of groundwater, as well as recycled water. And right now, we wanted to do a test well. One of our members, this last summer, we couldn't test the well because we couldn't discharge. Now, in the middle of a water supply emergency or in prudent water supply planning, we can do well testing, making sure that the water quality criteria are met to do those tests. We concur with the staff report that the basin plan amendment will provide a high degree of protection under prescribed conditions. We want to make sure that through the permitting process that Kathy described, that there is flexibility for irrigation sites, because we think this is going to actually improve water quality by regulating the potable or non-recycled water irrigation, which is introducing at times through bad management pollutants into the creek. And we think that through good permitting, it will actually improve water quality for recycled water and potable water irrigation. We also have some experience working in other regions, and the approach you're taking is very consistent with Region 5, where they have a low-threat permit and a limited discharge or limited impact or limited threat permit process. And it's a good process. It's one that you may have already checked in with them because they are and they can give guidance, I think, on how much staff it takes to run the permit program for the whole region. So finally, we'd like to commend all of you, the staff, for bringing this to the board and the board for prioritizing it and taking it on. And we're planning to send a comment letter in writing very shortly, and you'll see that from our chair. Thank you.
Next, we have Darren Jenkins.
Good morning. I'm Darren Jenkins. I'm with the City of Roanoke Park. And I thank you for the historical context you gave us, Holly. And you're right, the staff report has a lot of information in it. And the three of you have done a good job of taking a very complex subject and distilling it down with your presentation to explain it to people that don't deal with this every day. And it's kind of weird seeing dischargers here say, yeah, yes, please adopt this. And I can understand why some people may say, what's going on here? Why, you know, there's something fishy. This can't be good for water quality. I think it is good for water quality, and that's why I'm here today, is to express support for this. And really what it gives us is certainty, and sometimes that's enough, and that's what we want. We do a lot of these activities that are covered in here, like hydrant flushing, and we've called in the past and said, what do we do? What, can we get a permit? How do we regulate it? What are the best management practices? And we've, to a certain extent, had to come up with those on our own, and this will give you a framework to regulate us. It's not carte blanche to do these discharges. It really is just, as Kathleen pointed out, like, giving you a framework to, in fact, regulate us. But we will have the certainty, and that's what we want. As you said, many of these activities are already happening without permits, and they're important to people living in an urban environment. And we do need a clear regulatory approach for addressing these low-threat discharges. In many cases, there really are no practical alternatives. But what this does do is, when there are practical alternatives, it's going to make us do them. And that's an important component of this, and it's part of why that this will improve water quality. I think the proposed amendment will have an overall beneficial impact on water quality, just as you believe. I also agree it will reduce discharges, because you have said in there, when there's an alternative, you have to do it. And then in my question that I asked, I'll kind of reiterate here, is that I'm concerned on your behalf that you have the staffing and the funding available to process this once it's implemented. And I look forward, maybe that'll be part of the discussion with the actual action plans of how those are going to be staffed. Thank you. And maybe off the record, I'm going to have to leave a little bit early. I'm having lunch with my mom, so I don't want to offend anyone who's talking at the time.
Don't offend mom.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. And in terms of your question about staffing, we'll make sure that we have addressed that in the executive officer summary presentation, so the board and you all have that information before the board meeting.
Thank you.
Jane Rosk. Sorry if I chop your name up. Sorry about that.
Thank you. I'm Jane Rosga. I work for CH2M Hill, and I'm here today representing the Santa Rosa Chamber of Commerce. And the chamber represents 1,100 business owners and around 30,000 employees in Santa Rosa and Sonoma County. We've established some water policy principles that include supportive initiatives that move toward resolving environmental water issues in a manner that's practicable and achievable, using science-based solutions that balance environmental stewardship, human sustainability, and economic vitality. And in light of that principle, when I discussed this potential amendment in my environmental committee, I expected very little discussion because we are aware of the issue and have discussed it before. I was surprised at how many of my committee members wanted to share their experiences with discharges that would fall into this category that they've had problems with. So this is a real problem that you are trying to solve, and we appreciate that greatly. The proposed basin plan amendment successfully addresses the basin plan prohibitions that have impeded environmental projects, including water recycling. We concur with your conclusion that the basin plan amendment will provide a higher degree of water quality by acknowledging that these low-threat discharges exist and providing a regulatory program that allow the discharges to occur, similar to what you said. Knowing what you have to do just makes it much easier. We believe that sustainable economic development depends on a healthy, sustainable environment, and we support the Basin Plan Amendment because it represents a reasonable solution to this important regulatory issue. Thank you.
Dan Sherman.
Hi, I'm Dan Sherman, Executive Director of the Laguna de Santa Rosa Foundation, a nonprofit organization that works to restore and enhance the Laguna. And we're here today to support this amendment. We see it as it removes an obstacle to habitat restoration and water recycling projects that could have a beneficial effect on the Laguna and other North Coast watersheds. And we agree with the staff report that these discharges are already occurring in an unregulated manner, and that this provides a regulatory framework which can be done in a beneficial way. So we support the amendment. That's all I have to say. Thanks.
Richard Burt.
Good morning. I'm Richard Burt. I'm the Public Works Director for the Town of Windsor. And we're pleased, you know, that we have this basin plan amendment before us. It's something that we've all been waiting for a long period of time. And I think as hard as we all work to be as responsible in the managing of our water resources, both you as regulators and us as appliers and also in our own regulatory framework, I think that this basin plan amendment is most importantly going to help protect us against third-party actions. And I think that's one of the things that we're so concerned about here, because no matter what we do in our best efforts, there's still that threat to all of us out there of third-party action. I think the report is very well written. I enjoyed it very much. I think you did an excellent job of addressing the practical issues that are out there and just very plainly laying them out for us to all see. You know, nothing was hidden. It was very plain, very clear to understand. And I think you've recognized the realities that we have to deal with when we construct and maintain and operate a water system, be it for potable purposes or recycled purposes. These are things that just happen in the world that we all live with. I think that, you know, the Town of Windsor has been involved with a recycled water system for more than a decade. And not only do we use it for urban recycling, we also use it for agricultural purposes as well. And we have a long history of experience using recycled water, and I think doing it in a very responsible way. We design our areas for containment. We monitor with our staff on an ongoing, a daily basis when it's being applied. I think that we're very comfortable with our performance and experience in the application of recycled water. And I think it falls right in line with what you have here in the recommended best management practices. I do have a couple comments, I think, as I looked at Appendix A and Appendix B. In areas where I have seen the word water being used, I'm never sure if we're talking just potable water or if we're inclusive of both potable and recycled, but I think it shouldn't really include both. And then also, I know you speak a lot, or you mention in here, that we're talking about water distribution systems, and it seems that it's for potable systems. But for those of us that have recycled water systems, they are in many ways identical to a potable mm-hmm. system. So I think as you put the word potable in here, I think it should also go along with recycle, because we have some of the same situations or same incidents that could occur in our recycled water system that happen in a potable system. So those are just my comments and observations here on the report. Thank you.
And it was certainly our intent that it would apply to water, whether it was recycled or not. So we'll make sure that gets
good.
Clarified.
Good. Thank you.
Last, we have Kevin Booker.
My name is Kevin Booker, and I'm with the Sonoma County Water Agency. I have a lot of stuff. I have some stuff written, but actually, I just want to say that at the Water Agency, we support this amendment. We agree with Dan in terms of it will help the agency with some operational flexibility. We also agree with Mary Grace in that the Water Agency, we actually support the increased use in recycled water. We have a number of recycled water projects going on, and this would help. As you know, we're looking at doing some recycled water stuff in the Airport Business Park, and so this amendment would really help the Water Agency. So just to be sure, we support this amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. Is that the last one?
Unless Brenda would like to go. That's it.
Okay, late entrance.
One more.
No such thing as a late entrance.
Don McInhill with Russian Riverkeeper. We were quite involved with the development of the recycled state recycled water policy, and as I'm sure Mary's heard numerous times in the stakeholder meetings, given our water supply constraints in the state, we have to make increased use of recycled water to extend our water supply, but that only works if we protect existing water quality. So this policy certainly moves in that direction. One of the things I like best about the policy is the clear linkage to conformance. It says conformance in the PowerPoint. I'd certainly suggest the word compliance with their NPDES permits and WDRs and things. And beyond that, we're going to submit a few other detailed comments on that. But today, I'd just like to talk about one thing I see all the time, and it drives me crazy, and that's sidewalk rinsing. I have observed so many times people pressure washing high pressure, low volume, areas where dumpsters are located, areas like brick areas, brick sidewalks that accumulate moss and sediment and things like that. So we're going to submit more detailed comments, but I'm very concerned about any kind of exemption for sidewalk rinsing because even if it's a low volume and say you clean off an area where a dumpster is and it doesn't create a whole lot of volume, it can have a substantial amount of pollutants that are sooner or later going to be entrained and delivered to our local water bodies. So we're going to certainly suggest things like, that this not be allowed in areas where there's any oil, vehicle pollutants. And if you've got a dirty sidewalk covered with moss or something, it should be cleaned up and then pressure wash and get as much of the solids out as possible. So we'll submit further comments. Thank you for your time.
Okay. Well, thank you all very much for coming. I appreciate your interest in taking the time to come and listen to us explain what we've been up to. Please feel free to contact any of us at any time if you have any questions that are specific to what we've been pitching to you today. We're available and willing to talk. So, have a good day. Everything will be responded to in writing, both verbal and written. And again, if we can get you guys to sign up, I'd appreciate it. We're supposed to be going paperless. Yeah.